Orchestration can be such a subtle thing, a matter of constantly adding and taking away. Look at the results Dvorak got just holding back the first violins in the Serenade for Strings. He starts off with the low strings, and then the whole color of the orchestra changes. Color is what orchestration is about.
You don't reveal everything you have because you give it away. There's nothing left. Save your big color for the moment when you need it.
Michael Starobin has learned a lot from his classical predecessors. He orchestrates Broadway musicals and some film scores. That means, for Broadway at least, that he's handed a simple, unadorned piano vocal score by the composer, and about 4 weeks later has to present a fully realized, orchestrated show to its cast and creators.
Almost never is there any indication of what instruments should play. Almost never is there an opinion about what should be in the band. That's really left to the orchestrator.
So he assesses what's needed and what's economically feasible, picks the band, and goes to work. As he did on Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George, for example, a musical about an artist obsessed with painting flecks or dots which revealed images, as in the song Color and Light.
And George says, order.
An orchestrator has to know absolutely everything about a song, melody, structure, dramatic intent.
And it reflects both the painting and what his mind is thinking. And it builds and builds, and he gets more and more, finally he gets pretty ecstatic about what he's doing, and he says, more light. And the music explodes and shimmers.
Color and light.
For me, the color that I really heard working on that was the harpsichord, as short and sharp as you could get. It was all about finding the staccato sounds, the different colors to match what was simply done on the piano. This was coloring in the line, so to speak. And in that sense, this is orchestration at its simplest, which is, here's a drawing with no colors, fill in red, white, and blue where you see it.
There are only about 8 or 9 orchestrators doing all the shows on Broadway. Most of them learn their craft the hard way.
I had to write orchestrations in the same room as people rehearsing another song.
Jonathan Tunick, another major Sondheim collaborator, has since found a quieter place to orchestrate Follies, Company, Sweeney Todd, and others. He takes his cues from the composer.
A Little Night Music, for example. His remark about it was that it was romantic and mysterious, a hint of perfume in the air. And I immediately thought of A Midsummer Night's Dream and the famous Scherzo by Mendelssohn from it. Of course, it called for a classical-type orchestra and a scherzo-like approach.
Now, as the sweet imbecility tumbles so lavishly onto her lap.
Oh, Frederick, what a day it's been.
You need a sizable string section, light on the brass, you know, nice woodwind colors, and basically a late 19th century, perhaps a ballet orchestra.
With orchestration, of course, as with costume design and set decoration and every other detail of a show's creation, you can be on point in the 19th century 1 month, or swinging right up to the minute in the next. As with Company.
We all wanted to be au courant at that time, in 1970, and the sound of Burt Bacharach was very much in our ears. We approached Company with a lot of that style.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes Company.
When was it, 5 or 6 years ago when we revived it? With just some perfunctory editing, some changes in phrasing. Much of that 1970s sound just kind of disappeared. Some trumpet fills used to be phrased da 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 da. And if you just slur them over, da 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 dee da, they don't sound like the Tijuana Brass anymore.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's really about, really about.
Sondheim is known to both these orchestrators as a painstaking, thorough, and highly skilled writer of scores who spells out every note in his piano vocal scores, leaving nothing to chance. And then there is the other extreme, the hummer.
A hummer is a composer who is basically not an educated musician, so he doesn't read music. Sometimes he doesn't even play music, meaning play piano. And he basically says to an arranger, an orchestrator, I want it to go like this. And someone has to write it out, sometimes put chords to it.
But hummers can write hits too. And any input at all can be a comfort to the solitary orchestrator.
You have to sit alone in your room facing this blank paper. You're putting funny marks on paper and just taking it on faith that this is going to somehow turn into music. And you see that pile of paper with notes on it getting higher and higher, and you still have never heard any music except in your own brain. The big burst of energy, of course, comes at the orchestra rehearsal. Suddenly, all this energy that's been stored up on paper bursts forth into music. I must say, there's nothing quite like it.
So, if you get to a Broadway show, maybe you'll go out whistling the trumpet fill. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.